Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, February 16th, 2024, 12 minutes past the hour, and we are going to have a fun two-hour period here talking about things going on in the world. Joining us in the studio this morning, as he is each and every Friday morning, Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Scott?
Doing great. So you've had a busy morning already.
I have, yes.
Yeah. Now, before we get to the rest of the program here, I want you to plug what's going on tonight. You have a special tonight at 10 p.m.
All right, so tonight at 10 p.m. I'm going to have an interview running that is going to be with the Libertarian candidate for president. His name is Chase Oliver. We talked about some of his policies, stance on things, and what the Libertarian Party in essence stands for.
Now, it's interesting. This has really been your first big interview. You interviewed a football player. What was his name?
Gage Baker.
Just don't like... You know, there's something with me and the name Gage. I don't like anybody named Gage. It's a whole thing. But, yeah, Chase Oliver tonight. I like that name. I can go with Chase. So, how'd you feel it went? It's a taped interview tonight.
I think it was good.
It's already happened.
I think it was good. I enjoyed it.
You found out with politicians that you really don't have to say a whole lot.
You ask them the question, and then in between every question, there's like a 3.5-minute dialogue.
Which, you know, as an interviewer, you like.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
I think it was a really interesting interview.
Without giving the punchline here to the interview tonight, don't give anything away, but what surprised you the most? What area surprised you the most with Chase Oliver, the Libertarian candidate for president?
Probably some of the stances that he has on some of the systems of the that we use in the United States.
And guess what? You can find out about those stances when?
At 10 o'clock tonight.
At 10 o'clock tonight, following the Friday Night Live show with Ewan Carrington.
Absolutely.
And that'll be a humdinger, as it always is.
Is there ever an episode where it's not?
No, because there's always some kind of, you know, contretemps between her and I. I don't know why that is. It's just one of those things. But... here's an interesting thing. About 12 years ago, I was doing a radio show at a different station, and I think it was once a week at that particular point. I'm not even sure really how it started, but I had somebody who would come in, and we would pretty much do what we do now. We just talk about what's going on, and it stopped because I think I stopped at that radio station, and we have not done this for 12 years, which is kind of unbelievable to me when I actually think about that now. So glad to have that person back in the studio this morning, Jessica Hauser. Jessica, 12 years, what happened?
Oh my goodness, what happened in 12 years?
Yeah, what's been going on? Well, how have the last 12 years been?
Oh, the last 12 years have been great. Life has been good.
Good. So. You know, why did that stop? I don't even remember why we stopped doing that.
I don't remember why it stopped either.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was. I'm sure that I just, you know, I don't know, maybe I started traveling.
Could have been.
That was around a time period I started doing a lot of traveling.
You know what's interesting? I you know, it's been 12 years, so more than a decade, so you don't remember a whole lot. But this week, when you agreed to come back and do this, it was interesting because you said, I have to have the topics before Friday morning, and I'm not used to that because I never tell anybody the topics. So I thought, oh, I remember this now. That used to be that way back then.
Oh, yes. I'm not gonna get on public radio and not know what I'm about to talk about.
Really? No, not a spur of the moment.
Absolutely
not. Spur of the moment type of person.
I do not like spur of the moment.
No. So every topic that we're going to discuss today, you are aware of.
I am.
Now, did you really have
well,
to...
Well, I think, unless you're going to change it up on me.
No. Well, as far as I know, I'm not. But do you research these things, or do you just say, okay, I know about that, I know about that?
Oh, I like to get a good idea of, you know, my firm opinion on it, you know, so I can keep up with arguing with,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because it may be different. It may be different over here. You never know. Well, let's get into it here. This will be fun. I think the first thing to talk about here this morning is what went on with Travis Kelce at the Super Bowl and his coach, Andy Reid. Now, during the game, again, most watched television event since the moon landing in 1969, 123.4 million people watched this. a record, again, since the moon landing in 1969. And during the game, Travis Kelce goes over to his coach, who's 65 years old, I believe, and pushes him, or bumps into him, however you want to describe it, about knocks him over, and yells at him to the point to where another player had to come from behind and kind of give him a bear hug and pull him back. And basically, here's the... Well, let's start there. That's what happened. Matt, is this a good thing to do?
No, I don't think it's ever a good thing to push, argue, or disagree with your coach. I think they get paid the money to run the team because they know what they're doing. You might be good at the position you play, and you might know about that position, but overall, they know what they're doing. They did fine Travis, and they suspended
they
him
find
for
it.
3 games.
Did they? This has come. This
next,
is a new thing.
Next season, he is suspended for 3 games, and he had a fine. I don't remember how much the fine was.
Warranted. Do you think that's warranted?
I mean, I think it's probably warranted, yeah.
Why would you do this in front of 123 million people? He knows this is the big game.
I mean, I think Andy Reid knew why he did it. I mean, Andy Reid, after the fact, had went over to him on the sidelines and said...
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, why would you do it? Really,
he
honestly.
He was just amped up. He was ready to be at the Super Bowl.
Well,
at the play after he was taken out, there was a flag in the position that he should have been playing. The tight end who went in to replace him got a flag. So he was... I guess peeved because the dude who replaced him got the flag.
I understand, and I understand why he could be peeved. But the point is you have to be aware it's the Super Bowl. You have to be aware there's 123 million people watching. You have to be aware your girlfriend, megastar, is up there in the box. This is not the time to be doing this. I mean, I understand temper and passion and all that sort of thing. Not the time to go over and bump a 65-year-old guy.
I mean, I don't think that it's ever the right time to go over, and like I said,
no,
I don't
but
think
that was
ever the
worst
right time.
That was not. That's the worst time to do that.
But I mean, he got in trouble for it.
He certainly did.
But like, I think he was just amped up. I think he was just. Upset.
But is that an excuse?
He wasn't in there to prevent that penalty.
Good excuse, just amped up.
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a good excuse, but I almost see people think he's lying, but I genuinely believe that he was probably just amped up during that game.
Okay.
Oh, I agree.
That's what you think.
100% agree. Yeah, he just wasn't thinking straight. But out of that, I do have a lot of respect for. For the head coach Andy Reid, being able to just, you know what, like that just happened. To me, whatever. Here we go. I'm gonna continue to coach a game. I'm gonna continue to win this thing and do what I've got to do. And you know, that just goes to show you the difference of, you know, their age differences, their experiences, and you know everything else that you know comes into play there. So, you know, out of it, whatever. He's got somebody just yelling off the cuff and whatnot. But to be able to turn around and continue coaching a game is really, you know, it's great. So, not that I lost respect for. Travis, but I gained a lot of respect for Andy.
So, do you feel different about Travis Kelce at all, in any way, for doing this?
If I was Taylor Swift, I would.
Okay, now, talk about that. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Like, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to get an argument
with
you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here she is, the clandestine girl that everybody wants to be, the billion-dollar girl, and speaks about empowerment for women, and she's a role model for young girls, and here her boyfriend is acting a little thuggish in front of 123
yes.
million people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you were her, what would you think?
I'm not quite sure what I'd think, you know. She's up there in the stands too. It can't be like, calm down, honey.
Yeah.
You know, you need to think about this a little bit more. You know, and I can't see that happening behind closed doors either. But.
Well, is this a sign of something else, though? Is this just a temperament that comes out on the field? That's just a one-off?
Well, I think over the course of, you know, football and stuff, you know, these are in a way just bred gladiators, you know? I mean, the testosterone runs high in these guys. It has to. I mean, they beat each other up. They shove each other around. I mean, it's the natural course of, you know, how things go in football. And so, I mean, him doing that isn't really out of the, you know, is it disrespectful, you know? And I mean, would you rattle your leader even more during times of him trying to think and coordinate and play? I don't think that was a good thing on his behalf to do. However, you know, these guys, just to play in NFL, I'm not sure you think straight anyways.
But here's, I mean, we are
amping these guys up with protein and weightlifting and testosterone, and you know, you're gonna have it.
But the weird thing about this is there are other players on the team, and most people I think would agree that Patrick Mahomes is a much better player and the star player of the Chiefs. They didn't do that. They did, and I understand he was involved in the play, but nobody else went over and grabbed a hold of the coach. Nobody else went and yelled in the coach's face. Does this come with being a man who's dating Taylor Swift? Does this come with a guy who's...
I think it's probably...
You don't think there's any pressure involved in that?
I mean, I think it's more of just the fact... I mean, not any more than just playing in the Super Bowl overall.
But why did nobody else do it?
I mean,
during the entire game, a very close game, game where they trailed.
I think nobody else did it because, I mean, Travis Kelce, the man who did it, even said after that, he said as soon as he did it, he regretted it and wished he could have taken it back.
Yeah, I understand that, but the other night before we heard the apology, you had a little different opinion on this.
I mean, I basically said the same thing I do now. He was just amped up. I said I defended him because he was amped up. I don't necessarily defend him because I think what he did was right. I just think that I'm defending him, quote-unquote, because... I mean, he was just passionate. Like, Andy Reid even said that he was just passionate.
And that's fine.
He got the message.
But you don't think pressure was added to him in this game at all? You think it was just football?
I mean, I think...
Just a guy playing football?
I mean, I think when you're the main target
on
the...
Super Bowl. It's not just a guy playing football.
Well, right, but it's the Super Bowl.
It is the biggest game in sporting... It is the biggest game in sporting history.
Yes.
Well, I understand that, but it happens every year, and he's been in it before. And
you gotta win. See, it's not about being there before. You play football every season. That doesn't mean you don't want to play the next one.
But did he grab anybody in past years?
Not that I can recall.
Now the year though, you have.
I mean, I can recall people who have though.
And
besides,
what happened with them?
Oh, yeah.
Kyler Murray still the starting quarterback of the Cardinals.
But I'm sure he was fined.
I'm honestly not sure. I don't remember. That was like 2, maybe 3 years ago at this point.
So you don't think there's any I guess what I'm going for here, you don't think there's any pressure on this guy? His girlfriend's up in the stands. They're flashing her all the time. His jersey sales have gone up 400% this season because she's there.
I would say.
The ratings on the games have gone up because she's there. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift. I knew what time she got to the game on Sunday because people's phones were going off. Oh, Taylor Swift has arrived. She's there. That has to add some pressure.
I would say it doesn't add any more pressure than like that Jonathan Owens, the safety who plays for the Packers. He dates, I can't think of her name, but the Olympic gymnast.
Well, exactly right. I can't think of her
name. Simone Biles.
Taylor Swift. And I can't think of her name. That's two different things.
Well, I mean...
How many times did they flash her in the game?
Well, here's the thing. Taylor Swift, that's a daily thing. That's her job. And I understand that Simone Biles, her job is to be an Olympic athlete, but the Olympics only come around every 4 years.
Right, but this is her life, I think. Her life is... She was Time Magazine Person of the Year. I mean, she's not a small person.
I mean, I don't think that it adds any more pressure to the game than what the game already provides itself. I mean, because, like... I mean, I'm sure you understand that there are more, like, a lot of people watching, and it's the Super Bowl. But, like, at the end of the day, there's still only a stadium full of people watching you. Like, if you look around, you only see a stadium full of people. You might see cameras, but, like, other than that, it's just the stadium. You play in a stadium full of people year-round.
So you think he's completely unaware of her presence and unaware of all the fol-de-rol that went into this game because of her?
I mean, I don't know that he's unaware. I mean, I think being unaware, I don't think that necessarily does anything, but
I just think this was a case of self-awareness. You have to be aware that you're being watched by everybody at this point because of the Taylor Swift.
Actually, that's a really good point. Thank you. He might have been so unoblivious because he didn't know they were because he yelled at Travis or he yelled at Andy Reid during the Super Bowl. Maybe he genuinely didn't realize the... Maybe he didn't feel the pressure from Taylor Swift being there because he just didn't think about it. Like when he didn't think about the cameras when he yelled at Andy Reid.
So no added pressure, Jess. Really? It's just the Super Bowl.
He's doing his thing. I would say so. I don't think Taylor Swift and her presence there really with that particular situation I truly believe he was just unaware of what he was
doing. If anything, I think Taylor Swift might have felt the pressure to have to cheer for every time Travis Kelce went on the field.
So you think that was phony?
If he really thought about it.
Oh, because, like, every time they put the camera on Taylor, she was jumping up and down, clapping her hands. Like, it's not,
she's
like...
very supportive.
It was like a three-yard catch, okay? Like, routine.
Did we... I mean, here's the thing, though. When is the last time you saw, at the end of a Super Bowl, they followed her onto the field to see her kiss him? We had to see that. We had to know that that was going to happen. What did we see the Olympian, Simone Biles? Did we see her kissing her boyfriend?
Well, you see, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. You probably would have if they made it to the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying, but do we see that at regular games? Do we see that going? We see this at Taylor Swift. Anytime she goes on the field, we have to follow her.
I mean, we talked about Simone Biles and that Jonathan Owens when Jonathan Owens said that football was harder.
He was the catch. He was the catch. She wasn't. But... I don't know. I think there's a Taylor Swift factor. She was the person of the year. She brings billions of dollars into communities. Girls cry when she's performing.
I read this article, and this article said that people are now starting to think that the NFL is rigged because the Chiefs' offensive line has the most holding calls in the NFL almost every year. Like, both of their starting tackles, I do believe, have, like, the most holding calls in the NFL, and neither of them were called for holding in the Super Bowl. But there's videos all over Twitter of just them holding Nick Bosa, then holding Fred Warner, then holding can't think of the other guy's name, but they were holding the entire game and didn't get a single call.
Let's get to the apology here real quick. Travis Kelce admitted he crossed the line when he bumped Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid during Sunday's Super Bowl game, conceding it was unacceptable while chalking it up to his passion. It's definitely unacceptable, and I immediately wish I would have took it back, Kelce said on the New Heights podcast Wednesday, which he hosts with his brother Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Reid actually came up right after to me, and he didn't even have harsh words for me. He just let me know, hey, man, I love your passion. I got cameras on me all over the place, man, Kelce recalled. Kelce said he talked to Reid about the scuffle, and we kind of chuckled about it. You know, here's the problem. Reid knows there are cameras on him all the time. Why doesn't Kelce? Why isn't he aware of this?
Well, I mean,
he's self-aware. We got to say Andy Reid's self-aware.
I mean, Travis Kelce is also the player. I think it's a lot more easy to get tunnel vision when you're in the game. I mean, when you're coaching the game, I understand that you probably get tunnel vision a little bit too, but you're not on the field reading the snap. You don't have to pay attention to all the things that the players necessarily have to pay attention to. You call the plays, and then the rest of that's on the players.
But here's
I would say far from tunnel vision for a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
You really have to be able to, I mean, have tunnel vision from the crowd
factors. As a head coach, you almost need the exact opposite of tunnel vision. You almost need to see the big picture of everything. Yeah.
He almost needs to know Taylor Swift's up there and know if Travis is up there, staring at his girlfriend or if his head's in the game. He probably needs to, be aware of that.
Well, here's why it became a thing, though. The next day and even that night, people were defending this action, and people got kind of ticked about that. It was interesting. On social media, the people who defended it and said it was just testosterone, it was just he was in the height of the game, those people got beat to death. You don't disrespect your elders. You don't disrespect your boss like that. You don't do that at the Super Bowl.
It happens in the NFL a lot, as I've said previously.
I don't think it makes it right.
I didn't say it makes it right.
It doesn't make it right.
But were you surprised people defended it?
It's not uncommon.
I understand why some people would think, yes, defending it, or really more or less defending it to keep him from getting suspended. It would be more for, I would assume, because I don't know who defended it or not defended it, but, it'd be more like, can we just take the I'm sorry and let him play, let's keep him in, we need him, So... Yeah, I can understand the defense in a selfish way.
Well, it's interesting because it's people who don't know him, and then he comes out on Wednesday and says, no, it was unacceptable. I shouldn't have done it. So I think it kind of made those people who were defending him look trite because they defended him in his action, and he's saying the action was bad, totally unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. He should have.
Yeah. But that's just the passion that people have, I guess, in their team. But I will say this. When he did this, on Monday morning, I came on and I said, this is bad. You don't do this. You have to be self-aware. I don't think this is good. This is a bad look for him. It's certainly a bad look for his girlfriend. And then when I read this, the apology, because he hadn't been fined at that point, he hadn't been suspended, you know, I became a fan because it takes a lot of guts to admit when you're wrong. And to do it on this level, 123 million people, to say, listen, it was wrong. What I did was unacceptable. I give him a lot of credit for doing that. That takes a big person to do.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't suspended yet either, right?
No. No,
oh, not at that point.
Well, of
not
course
at that
you're going to do everything you can do to try.
So you think it was all a lie? Just a big lie. It was a big lie.
Well, I don't know. How much did he get fined? We didn't know.
We don't know.
Oh, I don't remember, no.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would get on and say I'm sorry for 100 grand.
But so you totally insincere. Totally insincere apology at this point.
Well,
that's interesting.
It didn't work.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It didn't work. No,
I mean, I know
work.
That Travis Kelce has said that he has enjoyed the, I think, like something like 12 years that he's played with Andy Reid. And he also said that he's not going in. So, like, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce are now trying to go for the, you know, trifecta, three Super Bowls in a row, which would be Super Bowl history.
We'll see. If they lose that one, he might just beat the coach up right on the field. Passion. Okay. Passion.
I don't know if you can chalk that one up to passion.
I don't know. So where's the level? Where do you, before we move on to the next topic, what can you do and what can't you do? You can bump him, you can scream in his face, but what can't you do? What can't we chalk up to passion?
I mean, I think once you start throwing punches, there's probably a little bit different.
Like, really?
I mean, even on the field, like, once you start throwing, like, once hands get involved, there's flags thrown. But, like people smash their helmets into each other's heads all the time. Like, you'll see, like, cornerbacks and wide receivers just, like, slam their face masks into each other, and that's perfectly legal. You can do that all day.
Well, to continue down our Super Bowl fallout, it was very interesting because I was surprised this got a lot of attention, but Taylor Swift obviously was there. Everybody knew that. And during the game, she was caught drinking a beer, chugging a beer is what they called it, on the Jumbotron. And apparently this did not sit very well with people. Now, she's not involved in the game. She's not passionate. Now, listen, she's 30-something years old. She can have a beer, knock herself out. But is she self-aware at this point? This is a game where her boyfriend has bumped into a 65-year-old man. Now she's drinking a beer. Is she hurting her image?
I think that it's a sporting event, and I think a lot of people drink at sporting events. So I think everybody who drinks at sporting events should just ruin their image now.
But the person... No.
She chugged that, too.
Yeah.
She chugged that's slammed it down.
Wasn't her first beer.
I don't know the clip you guys are referring to, but I will also say that I actually brought it up, I do believe, on the last time we talked about this. There's a left tackle who plays for the Packers named David Bakhtiari. He went to a Milwaukee Bucks game and they put him on the Jumbotron and this man stood up and chugged two full cups of beer.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
And then continued to cheer while the whole stadium applauded him.
Yeah, but there is a difference when you're Taylor Swift and you kind of rally against these things and then people see you in a different light.
Does she rally against drinking? If she rallies against drinking, it's probably more like underage drinking. That kind of thing.
Well, why do you think people made a big deal of this if it wasn't anything?
I mean, I don't know. People make a big deal out of everything.
I don't think that's true.
You literally just said, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes ago that everybody got a notification when her plane... Is that not too big of a deal?
Well,
her plane landed in Las Vegas.
It's Super Bowl, I guess.
I think it had nothing to do with the Super Bowl. I think Taylor Swift landed in Las Vegas, and they were, like, going nuts.
Yeah, but, I mean, she wasn't involved in the heat of the game, so shouldn't she be somewhat self-aware? She didn't have to chug that thing in front of her.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Well, a lot of people liked it.
I thought it was great. It was a very Super Bowl thing to do.
Yeah.
It was perfect, and most people that would have noticed that probably would have been like, you know, all the guys watching the Super Bowl like, heck yeah, go! Yeah.
Became a fan of Taylor Swift after that one.
right. But interestingly enough, as we go along with this, the funny thing is that her unfavorables are now big with the people in the NFL. 32% of people 34% of people think she's a distraction. They don't want her there. They don't like that she's there. They don't like that people are paying all this attention to her. That's as many people as want her there. 34% of people want her there, and 32% are indifferent on this. But when your unfavorables are as high as your favorables, this is not good. And I did hear the next day, just in talking with people, people were ticked about the attention that was paid to her. They didn't care that she was there. They didn't care that the camera was spent a minute on her during the game. They didn't care that she kissed him when the game was over. People thought there was going to be a proposal. There were people on social media saying, I'm just staying up so I can see what happens with Taylor Swift after the game. She's becoming very unpopular with that crowd.
I really enjoyed the video. Did you see the video of it? Did you see her drinking?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see who was beside her?
Who was beside her?
It was so funny. Mick Holmes' wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so she gets up and she starts drinking. And not only do they have almost the exact same black dress on. So here, you know, I don't really watch football, so we get the girl's perspective on
the clothes.
And I thought it was fun. But she almost stood up and looked at Taylor Swift and was like, oh, I guess we're doing this now. And then she starts chugging hers too, you know, and kind of in the background. And I just thought that was so funny. I'm like, okay, here you go. You got two players, like spouse, wives, girlfriends, whatever. And I just thought, the whole dynamic, if you go back and watch the video, was just really funny to me.
Well, you know what? Prior to this relationship, this is why this is interesting. Prior to this relationship, the plus on Taylor Swift was she looks like a regular girl. She's a down-home girl. She hasn't got in trouble. There's nothing bad about her. Now, in the course of this relationship, people are starting to dislike her. She's seen chugging a beer. She's wearing million-dollar jewelry. She's the high-dollar clothes. The boyfriend attacks a 65-year-old man during the game. It's changing her image, and I think I don't know how that's going to turn out in the end.
Oh, they'll break up before next year anyways.
Really?
Oh, I think so.
Before the season starts.
Well, all this
isn't love?
Business. When do they even get together? September?
But this is our favorite love story.
4 months ago?
This is our favorite love story in America right now.
Yeah, well, their breakup's going to be your favorite story in 6 months.
And it'll be her best-selling song.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. But so,
we know how this goes.
So you don't think this can last?
Oh, I don't think it will.
Why?
Especially since Travis got suspended for 3 games.
So you think that would really matter?
Go?
That's the real problem. Well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
If he wouldn't have got suspended, she might start the season.
Might stay around. Do you think any of this could be publicity? Do you think any of this at all could be publicity on her behalf? It certainly has played well for her.
Absolutely.
So you think it's, in her mind, she's aware of what she's doing.
And his.
He's aware of it too.
Yeah.
So is this real?
How do you really get a really excellent, great relationship going in the middle of NFL season with an NFL player? Like, do you even think they've had a chance to sit down alone for?
Yeah, I mean, that is
maybe a total of 2 weeks.
That is fair, because there's.
What do you think, they go to the gym together?
Former Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman. He used to just not shave his beard during the season because it gave him one less thing to worry about.
Like, how is it not a political relationship? Like, especially it's only been 4 months.
Well,
you have Christmas in there.
Yeah, but they did spend some time together. I think, I'm sure they did somewhere along the line.
I don't know.
Cameras follow them. I think I saw a picture somewhere of them going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you need time in a relationship?
I'd say yes.
See,
time,
I always felt
time
that
is a lot.
I always felt that you needed distance. I think that's how the successful relationships really happen.
That would have been Jessica 12 years ago.
No, but it's distance. It's distance. Because you need your space. Because when you really start to dislike somebody is when they're in your space all the time. You know, here's my space, here's your space. Our spaces can come together occasionally, but not all the time.
Right. I think it's absolutely a political relationship. And a relationship for image.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cynical. Very cynical.
It is.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Time will tell.
What if they get married?
Mm, then they'll get divorced.
Yeah, the next I was going to say the same thing. The next album's going to be a banger.
Yeah. They'll get divorced when he retires from the NFL.
Wouldn't this hurt her whole career, though, if she has a successful relationship? Because when they crumble, that's what she writes the songs about.
I mean, she could always switch it up and start writing love songs.
Really?
She could try.
People aren't going to buy that. People like drama. People like the drama.
I don't know,
they like to learn what. Who's that about?
She's got a cult behind her. I think.
I don't think she's a cult.
I think if you put something out there, the cult's gonna buy it.
I don't know. Maybe the hardcore group. What I'm saying, Taylor Swift is not gonna go to a concert and have a bunch of empty seats. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is right now she is overly popular. She's over the moon popular. And that's what she's risking. Those people that are just going to make her your average pop performer. That's what is at stake here. And I don't know. I think she's not completely aware of that at this point for some reason.
What if she doesn't necessarily want to be the most popular thing?
Oh, at her age and doing her thing, I think she shows up at these games. She could watch from a darkened box. She doesn't have to go out on the field. She doesn't have to do all that.
No, she doesn't have to.
It's a little bit of a show.
Mm-hmm. It is a show.
It is a show.
Definitely a show.
But then people get angry when you say that. And I've had girls in their 40s, women, I guess I should say, they come at me and they go, you know, it's a love story. They're in love. She's there supporting her boyfriend. Why can't you understand that? She can't support him from a darkened box. She has to be on camera all the time. She has to go on the field and do these things. Why?
True. But it is important. I mean, it is important to have the important people there watching you play when you're when you're an athlete.
But do you think he's even aware that she's there? Like, that crosses his mind.
Oh, he knows.
Well, I'm sure he knows, but do you think he really, this is going to make me play better, it's important that she's here?
It could.
Really?
I think this starts at a very young age.
You think this
athletes.
Pushes you?
I think it starts, you know, when you're playing basketball at the YMCA.
Well, here's you play better at the Y when the girlfriend or the boyfriend's there.
I think in natural athletes, it's very important.
So what, is that a show-off factor?
I think there's a... You know, a thing with competition there, obviously, you know, in athletics and all of that. But, you know, there is, it kind of goes back to the whole, like, you know, it is a show. When you take it that far, it's a show. You're putting on a show for other people.
So you think Taylor Swift...
Competitively.
Who do you think's running this show? The more popular Taylor Swift or the less popular Travis Kelce?
It certainly has
helped him more.
I think the owners of the of the team.
Well, the NFL's running this relationship.
I think the owners of the team very well could
well,
be.
Well, there you go.
Even Kansas City mayor has embraced this whole situation.
Well, everybody loves it. Everybody loves to talk. We're talking about it because you would be irrelevant if you didn't talk about it.
Yeah, and she probably does. You know, if she's going to be at a game, there's probably a lot of people that would get hotel rooms in the city, spend money in the city, want to go to those games, hang out outside, waiting for her to come out. It probably generates the city a lot of money.
Well, I'm just shocked that the ratings on the games go up. His jersey sales went up 400%. 400% because she is dating him. That is insane to me. Those are crazy numbers.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Yeah. Why?
Well, maybe only sold 5 before that.
It might have been low.
You know, percentages are percentages, but it's like percentage of what? Like, what's the number?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a huge football fan. I'm not a football fan. Let's start there. And I was talking to people who are not football fans, and they said the same thing. They were not aware of this guy before this relationship, and because it's all over the place.
I would disagree. If you watched,
I did it last Friday.
Can
you disagree that I asked people?
You said you asked people who watched.
Who were not football fans.
Oh, who were not. I thought you said were football fans. And No. If you were a football fan, you knew who Travis Kelce was.
For sure. My 6-year-old son knows who he was.
Yeah, but people who are not aware of this guy until the relationship.
I mean, good for them, I guess.
Good for him, not good for them.
I mean, I don't know. It's not like he gets paid in royalties or something.
Well, I don't know how. I'm sure that the more you sell, the more popular you are, the more likely that team is to pay you more, and the more likely that team wants you around. if your ratings are going up. I know the NFL loved having her at the Super Bowl. Most watched things since the moon landing.
I mean, I don't know necessarily that jersey sales.
Do you even have TV then?
Yeah, there was back in those days. They cranked up the television and they watched it.
I'm not even sure there was color TV then.
No, I don't think there was color, no. And certainly not on the moon.
What was the population of the United States even? With?
It was smaller, but only three channels back then, so you had to watch something. So, but now we've got a bazillion channels, but people were watching this thing.
Well, that's, you know, everybody likes football, you know?
No, they don't.
Apparently.
Now, a good baseball game, you got me.
See, Scott, but we've already been through this. Football has officially passed baseball as the number one popular sport in America.
They play once a week. I don't know about that. I think that's a whole other thing.
I'm sorry, there's a lot of baseball games.
A lot of baseball.
If you're a baseball
night.
Fan, you have to be so committed.
And they fill the stadiums.
You know, speaking of baseball, one time, there was a time in my life where I was like, you know, I'm going to start watching baseball because I just wanted to start watching more sports. So I started watching basketball, hockey, and baseball. And I still sort of watch hockey and I keep up with basketball. But baseball was just the one sport I could not get behind. It was so boring.
I cannot. It's terribly boring.
I know. It's so boring.
I have nothing to say to that. But anyway, here's what I want to say. We're getting some response online here from Kevin. This is Jessica Hauser. She used to be on with me years ago. They didn't catch who was on the program talking this morning.
Oh.
And you're having a great time.
I'm having a great time.
Great time. And from Mary, who's out there listening, per People Magazine today, Taylor Swift donates $100,000 to family of women of woman killed at the Super Bowl parade. Well, that's great. I mean, certainly, I think she does great philanthropic work. No?
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, I'm
oh,
not
Oh, I wonder. I didn't know. That
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
But that's nice of her, I think.
It is.
Good for her.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Okay. See, this is why talk about the negatives in life, because the positives are, that's nice. But the negatives, we can get right at it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. See, it's just like, when you do something bad, people just don't like it and it draws attention. But if you do something good, there's always something you could be, like Taylor Swift is a billionaire. She donated $100,000, which, yeah, like I said, like we said, that's good. But, like, she's a billionaire. She could have donated, you know, more. She could have donated to a lot of causes, but donated
she
to that.
She doesn't have to.
Yeah, I know, which is why, like, it's good that she donated, but, like.
She has to.
It's just one
but
of those.
Does she have to?
She does.
Oh, it's good for public appearance.
Who doesn't for their tax write-offs?
It's a tax write-off.
$1 million. Well, you know, you
so
need
this
to figure
is a
out
totally
how to put that money somewhere. I mean, yes, we're going to donate.
So this
now,
is totally
now,
insincere.
Which one's going to get the most, you know, which one's going to get me the most popularity? What's the most humble place we can take our tax write-off to?
So totally cynical on Taylor Swift.
And then we got the IRS just cringing in the background. Oh, my goodness.
But the family gets the money. I mean, I think that's nice.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's disputing that.
So if you do a good act and you've got $1 billion, it can't be sincere.
Well, I'm not saying it can't be. It just looks like...
If you do it incognito, then it's kind of sincere.
But you can't do anything incognito. She can't even go to a game incognito. We've seen this.
Nope, she can't, but...
I mean, I think it's just because she could try.
But don't tell me it's not going to be on her... tax returns.
You don't like Taylor Swift. Do you like
I didn't say if I liked her
seems,
or not. I don't
seems
care.
A little bit.
You know,
you're indifferent on her.
You know, Scott, we're older, and you know these people just come and go. They come and go. They
do
and
come
go.
And go. But I don't know if she will come and go. Sorry, because I was talking about this restless leg syndrome. I was talking the other day to somebody, and I don't know if we can say that she'll come and go like the Michael Jacksons, like the Britney Spears, like the Christina Aguileras, because she has done things that they did not. She became Time Magazine Person of the Year. She, I believe, has now surpassed Elvis weeks as number one on the Billboard charts. The only person or group she hasn't surpassed is the Beatles at this particular point. She has done things that other people don't do. So I don't know if she's ever going to be totally in the background.
Yeah, I don't know. I do. They do come and go, though. I mean, some are still kind of going, you know. I'm a big fan of J-Lo.
A lot of people
like Jennifer Lopez a lot.
But she came and went.
Yeah, she's still trying to stay in the game.
Trying to get out there every so often.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah. But I don't think there'll be a day, certainly anytime soon, when Taylor Swift is just a guest on a talk show, when she's just playing down at the theater. I don't think that day is going to happen for her very quickly.
Might not, unless she messes up. Or somebody else decides that she... is going to mess up.
I mean, there's always the old adage of the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
So you think a scandal could hurt her?
Oh, I mean, I think that... I think
it's inevitable.
Yeah, I think if you're if you're one of the biggest things in the United States right now, a scandal is bound to hurt you.
So nobody gets out unscathed?
Yeah. I think that once a person looks good enough, it starts to look unreal, and then people start to look
Trump
for
and
problems.
COVID.
Well, he had a few scandals before COVID. There were a few other things going on there with him before COVID. But you know what's odd? Here's what, just my observation from the Super Bowl in general is, and maybe I should have made this observation prior to the Super Bowl, is that every guy, I said this the other night, is a shaved head and a big beard. Well, what's that about?
Where?
That's, I see this all the time. And I started paying attention the next day, and you see people out in public who are like this. Is that a thing now? You don't obviously have that thing going on.
I honestly can't grow a beard very well, if I'm being honest.
Would you do it? Shave your head, grow the big beard?
Oh, no, I wouldn't shave my head and grow a beard. But I think it's just one of those things to where if you have a hard time growing hair on your head, it just looks better to have
a bald head.
Bald head and then the big beard. It just
shave it
no
if it's not there.
Receding hairlines.
Yeah. No receding hairlines. Mm. That'll age you. Mm. Yeah. I guess. But what about the big beard? Is that a big thing now? I didn't understand it.
It's been a thing for a little while.
I think it's just to direct attention away from...
You don't have any hair on your head?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the look.
Yeah, I think so.
So the end result here, is the NFL tired of Taylor Swift with the numbers we have?
I think that they just got tired of hearing about her. Like... I don't know how many times they showed her overall at the Super Bowl. I didn't count. My grandma was the one keeping count. I could ask my grandma.
And your grandma, did she like it?
I don't think she necessarily felt either way. She was just like they popped Taylor Swift up on the screen. She'd be like, "That's one."
Well, that doesn't sound like a happy thing to say.
Oh,
well,
your grandma didn't fall asleep during the Super Bowl.
No, my grandma watched the Super Bowl.
Oh, you have a cool grandma.
Let's take a phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
I watched that podcast that you were talking about, Scott.
Right.
And did you hear the part where the coach said something about he didn't mind it one bit, and he even went so far as to say stuff like that keeps him young?
Oh, Andy Reid?
Yeah.
Andy Reid was okay to let him off, but then I guess you also have to think is Andy Reid didn't want to lose his player, he didn't want to see a suspension, so there's a little backstory behind him as well, I would think.
Well, and I don't know if I'm just assuming an awful lot, but I don't think it's a far stretch to say, don't you think most of those people have PR people that tell them, here's what you're going to say when they shove a camera and a microphone in your face?
That's what, when I say self-aware, that's what I'm talking about. Isn't he self-aware enough to know not to go grab the coach? Isn't she self-aware enough to know don't chug the beer? Aren't these people, they can do this in private. Why are they doing it on the biggest stage since the moon landing?
Well, we have to look at what motivates everything. What makes the world go round? Money. They know when and they're all entertainers and performers. They know what's going to get the most views, what's the most likes, get people talking the most, rake in the most dough.
Do you think this is fake? Do you believe this relationship is just a creation for money?
I don't know, but, I mean, she does have a tendency of going through a lot of dudes.
She has been through quite a number of people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, she certainly has.
If it doesn't work out, there's only one thing we could do, Scott.
Go ahead.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Thank you. You know, that is an interesting thing about Taylor Swift, in a way, that she has been with a lot of guys. She's been with older guys. John Mayer was a big thing at one point. And it doesn't seem to hurt her. Now, I wouldn't judge anybody, but a lot of times that'll get your reputation will not be seen as well, certainly for women.
I think
it's unfair, but way it is.
I mean, I think that... I think what she does is she'll date somebody, right? And then she'll just gather as much of the fan base as she feels she can. And then once you've taken all the fan base you can from that point, you ditch it, move on to the next one.
But one
take
or two.
The fan base.
Who do you think's next, a girl? Oh, man, that would be the story. After an NFL player.
I don't know if that would work. I don't know if that would work. But, I mean, you don't think there's any idea that, she's got a little bit of a reputation here, right? You can do that one or two times.
Well, I mean, I think it was marketing genius for her to somehow manage to work her way into the NFL.
Yep. During Super Bowl.
But
yeah.
you don't pay
during
attention.
During Super Bowl season.
No, in real life, in regular life, you don't pay attention to a girl's past. You don't think to yourself when you don't want to know things like that about them.
I mean, I think you got to
pay. How many marriages, how many relationships have you been in? Oh, I could be like on the hit list here.
I mean, with just about anything.
For men as well.
I think with just about anything, you got to look at the track record.
But when you look at her track record and say, ooh, this is like a demo derby. This is not going to be a good thing to be involved in.
Yeah, but I mean, but like at the end of the day, you could also look at it and say, billionaire, one of the, Time Magazine person of the...
So if it's a billionaire, it's okay?
One.
A billionaire can get around, a regular girl can't.
Yeah, actually. Billionaires...
Really?
Billionaires have influence.
Once you hit the B mark, you're okay.
I think, honestly, once you hit...
Once you're in your 40s, the track record doesn't mean so much, I guess if somebody has a track record in their early 20s, that could be a problem.
No. She's in her early 30s.
The older you get when you're on the
well,
PNC,
no,
you kind of ignore the track record eventually.
So say you're like, 45, right? And then you're talking to this person, and then you get told that they've been in 25 separate relationships, and they probably have.
They're like, single when they're 45.
That's only 2 a year.
That's only two a year. I try to avoid one a year.
From like baby, right? I don't think you're starting that early.
Well, 25 relationships, 45. I mean, my math's a little bit off. Maybe it's like, 2.5 a year?
Well, I don't want to... Listen.
Since you're 20? 25 relationships, 45. Oh, no, that's 1 a year.
1 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
You're going to be the next 1 a year.
That's a little Kleenex-ish. I think that's not so good. But no, now from the woman's perspective here, do you pay attention to where guys have been? Do you want to know the background? Does it matter?
I would say maybe it used to matter, but it doesn't matter.
What
it
changed?
It doesn't matter.
Age?
Unless I'm going for a political relationship, then maybe.
Have you had a political relationship? Have you had a nice political relationship?
I don't know. How much of a celebrity am I?
You never know. You could get around. It's a whole thing. But no, I think it does. Like, we've talked about marriage and divorce on this show a lot. And
oh, boy.
I know, and we're coming up on a break here. But let's see how fast this goes. But I believe with marriage, one, I'll give you a pass on that. One, married and divorce, that can happen. You can marry the wrong guy. You can marry the wrong girl. Two, I'll even give you that because I'll say, well, okay, maybe the second one was the person. Once we're into three, I'm a little cynical on what's going on here. I'm starting to think you're the problem. And anything, and anything above three, it doesn't make you a bad person, but anything above three, I'm starting to go, oh, maybe you don't need the paperwork at this point.
That's true.
Maybe leave the paperwork out of this. Yeah. Because this is starting to look a little rough.
Three strikes and you're out policy?
Well, two strikes and you're out, I think.
Oh, goodness.
Does that matter?
How many
marriages that you actually got married? Because that I think there's a term. That's how this subject, I think, came up at one point. Anything over two marriages, I think, is called a serial marrier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I hate that term. Ooh. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, serial marrier. It's like a serial dater.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure 1 a year would be a serial dater. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably would.
I just don't know. Because the terms are, we've talked about the terms, you've lost them when you hear these terms out of their mind. You're the one. It's over. You can't change their mind on anything. And I've never met anybody like you before. Oh, really?
I need more coffee for this conversation.
Tis the truth, though, is it not?
No, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing.
Not agreeing or disagreeing. Well, that's a good time for it because we've got a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to regroup and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about collateral damage when a relationship ends.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. What a segue to come back to.
I'm going to Tim Hortons.
Oh, Jess and Matt are with us. We're coming back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
This person said that. This person said that. Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that